So we ask, who is this man? Who is the one that hangs there on the tree with his hands pierced, his feet nailed together, blood covering his face? Who is that man? Peter denied him. He said, I do not know him. He said it in cowardice, and yet for a moment we must ask, maybe he also meant that. Maybe the man that Peter had followed for 3 years no longer looked like Peter had hoped he would. Because 5 days earlier, as we just celebrated a Palm Sunday, Peter followed Jesus on a donkey as a donkey carried Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. And the crowd, they shouted, Hosanna, God save us. And they laid out palm branches to welcome their king into his kingdom. You know, Caesars and kings, as they would return to their cities in triumph after battle or after conquest, they would return and their people would go out to them. Their people would go out of the city and meet their conquering king and welcome them back in. And Jesus was greeted outside of the city of David with shouts of triumph and hope. Surely this was the king who would come. This is the king who would come to liberate Israel from its exile and its Roman occupation. Surely God was here to rescue Israel, to rescue his people from this evil world. Surely the kingdom had come and was now breaking into the very world. But now he hangs there. Unrecognizable. And we say, I do not know him. Denial and admission all at the same time. I do not know him. Who is this man? He looks like no king we have ever seen. He acts like no leader we have ever experienced. He teaches like no prophet before him. And he commands spirits in only the way God can. As he hangs there atop of his head, there's a crown of thorns meant to mock him and to harm him. And above that crown is the inscription, this is Jesus, King of the Jews. What is he doing? We were promised that he would reign. Remember what the angel said to Mary? He said, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So why does he hang there? Why has he suffered? Why is he dying? Church, why did he die? You know, we can't see it. And yet at this very moment, the very moment that he is hanging there on the cross, he's winning. The pain that he is in, the suffering that he is submitting to, this is his victory. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of Israel, the God of the universe, is right now on the cross putting sin to death. He has taken it all upon himself and he is taking it to the grave. Romans 8, 3 and 4, Paul states, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he, Jesus, condemned sin in his flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We couldn't see him fully. We couldn't understand him fully until right now. Because how could we? How could we have seen him fully? Because it's on the cross that the fullness of God is revealed. Our God, who is self-giving, who is selfless, and who is love itself, he is taking on the full punishment of sin in his body so that we can come alive to righteousness. That is the fullness of God, which is why later Paul will explain in 2 Corinthians 5, 20 and 21, he says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, God made Jesus to be sin, the one who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And as Jesus dies, we are liberated. We're liberated from the bondage of sin. As Jesus yells powerfully and yields his spirit, we are released from this slavery and this bondage that we have been in. As he goes to the grave, he takes sin with him, and he leaves us with only righteousness in its place. Christ hanging on the cross, Christ hanging on the cross, becoming sin for us so that we can become the righteousness of God. This moment, this is the fullness of God revealed to us. That's how the Apostle Paul can say in Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us. We who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation. There is no condemnation. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sin was already condemned in the flesh of Christ. Church, we have been set free by the exhaustive love of God. So who is this man? He is God. Who is this man? He is love. Who is this man? He is peace. He is liberation. He is forgiveness. He is reconciliation. He is courage. He is victory. He is sovereign. He is light. He is the chosen one. He is King Jesus. That is who he is. His death paved the way, and it put death away, leaving only eternal life for us in its place. Why? In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. We who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So now, in light of his death and resurrection, we can fulfill the law, the Torah, the very purpose of the people of God. We get to live life with God. We get to glorify him in our worship. We get to glorify him in our actions and our thoughts and our relationships. We get to now walk according to the Spirit and love as Christ loved and still loves. But don't miss it. Don't miss him. Don't overlook this moment, because it is the very center of history. But too often we miss it. Too often we will overlook it. Too often we bring our baggage, our false hopes, our misconceptions of Christ with us. We miss who he really is. We have to actually look upon him. We have to see him bloodied, beaten, nailed to the cross and suffering. We have to see him crushing sin in his flesh as he is crushed, because this is his coronation. This is his glory. This is the saddest moment in all of history. And it's the most victorious and planned for moment in all of history. Church, do you know him? Do you see him? Are you with Peter saying, I do not know him? I don't recognize who he is. Or are you able to see? Do you look at the body of your crucified Lord and recognize victory? Do you see the courage of Christ as he took the punishment, as he condemned sin in his flesh? I see him. I am not ashamed of him. We see him. We are not ashamed of him. We know him. We will not be ashamed of him. And church, we will boast in the cross of Christ and his death that brought life. We will not shrink back, but instead with all of heaven, we will shout, Hosanna, God saved us. God saved us. God saved us. We will worship him. We will follow him. We will walk by the Spirit. Who is this man? He is King. He is Lord. He is Savior. His name is Jesus.